Hey guys, want to play a game?
No!
Come on, dude.
Ugh, again?
Oh my god.
All right. Well, what do you want to do?
So this is definitely part of the show now, huh?
Yeah. I didn't do an opening, so.
Well, welcome to Board with Friends, a podcast about, quite frankly, whatever we feel like. My name is Sean Bissonnette, and I am joined by Zachary William Dyer. How are you, Zach?
Well, I feel like I'm in trouble because that is what I'm called when I get in trouble. So but, now I mean, I'm confused because usually I only hear that from my mother or my wife.
Well, I mean, what I will say is, I mean, we are in trouble. We didn't really come up with a topic. We had an entire month to do it, and we didn't really do it. We had ideas of things we wanted to do, but we didn't execute on any of those ideas. So we are.
Well, we did have a topic planned, but scheduling conflicts and all this other crazy stuff meant that the special guest for today's episode couldn't be here. So we didn't. We chose to come up with something else on the fly.
Yeah, and it's also going to be late because we're recording this on Sunday.
That is true. And I'm not sure when I'm going to actually get to upload this because it's going to be a busy week.
Yeah. I'm looking at the good old calendar here, and I mean, I have to edit the entirety of the Critical Failure that's going to be going up this Friday. And it's a boss fight, so I have a feeling it's going to be a doozy because there's going to be a lot of pregnant pauses I need to deal with.
I'm looking forward to that episode. That one was fun to do.
So it's going to be the sub boss. It's not going to be the big boss.
That one was fun to do too.
It was. I really like the way that we resolved that. You guys, I wish that I had better prepared the character because I came up with the character after you guys beat her, and that was my bad. So that, because it wasn't supposed to be like a conversation, but it turned into a conversation, and I should have been ready for it. But I'm still excited. It was a good fight. It was a good fight, yeah. And we're starting to hit our stride. You know, episode 9 or 10 or no, it'll be episode 10. We're finally starting to hit our stride and figuring out how we want to do this.
Hey, it took 3 years for me to be satisfied with some of Bored with Friends episodes. So you're doing better than I was.
Yeah, man, but it is a singular story, so we need to get it together quickly.
I am looking forward to, don't have a release date yet, but I am looking forward to gate crashing Critical Failure and doing another story with that. So
yeah, man, that'll be great. It'll be that technically segues into one of the things that happened to me. So what we're going to be talking about this episode, boys and girls and people of you know, every persuasion, we're talking about conventions. So I recently went to PAX East in Boston.
Oh, literally conventions.
Yes.
I thought we were going to get real deep here for a second.
I mean, we could, but I was going to talk about video games, board games, cosplay, and panels. I didn't know what you, in my experience, you know, with all those things. What conventions did you want to talk about, Zach?
Yeah, we could talk about those.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, I went to PAX East. I've gone to PAX East. This is my fourth or fifth time going to PAX East, so I've been going for a while. And it's every year I'm always surprised that they're somehow fitting more people into this building. Like the first time I went, the queue area for the entirety of everybody that was going to go there was roughly a quarter of what the current free play area is for board games and role playing and stuff that's kind of situated, you know, towards the back. Now the queue is the entire front, like, block that is the entrance of the convention center in Boston, and it goes, you know, it loops around and around and around and around, and then eventually goes all the way down a service road for the hotel that's connected to the convention center. like tens of thousands of people standing in line versus the, you know, maybe 10,000 people that you could fit in that, you know, little cattle corralling area. So every year there's more and more people, and I'm always blown away by it. But it's I like going.
That sounds like my experience with several conventions. Like we were talking, I don't know if it was before recording or when we just started recording, but how I got to go to Rhode Island Comic Con a couple years in a row. And yeah, the same thing kind of occurred where the line to get in was wrapped around several streets, not even, you know, in a queue in front of the building or anything like that. It just kept going and going and going.
Yeah, that's something I will. I've actually never been to Rhode Island Comic Con because it's always.
Don't.
Don't? Okay. Well, here you go, folks. Now you just ruined our chances of getting a panel, because, like, Rhode Island doesn't have that many, like, celebrities besides James Woods and Richard Jenkins.
Oh, they get plenty of people to come. Like, the years that I went, the first year I went, I forget. I think they got the original Power Rangers cast there. And then another year they got, the second year I went, they had a lot of Star Trek cast members. And I was really excited because Colin Baker, the Sixth Doctor, was there, and I got to see him at a panel. And they got voice actors from Batman, the animated series and everything, which was really cool. So they get great guests there. My problem with the convention is that, like, the first year was we got in. We didn't realize it was a problem until later, but they didn't anticipate how many people were going to go. And whoever was running it felt that they were surprised that people weren't leaving as quickly as they should. They deemed that they would, because they wouldn't let more people in until the fire marshal wouldn't let more people in until people had left, but people were staying for the day, and for some reason that shocked them.
Yeah, but there are panels and people that you want to meet and, like, stuff to buy. Like, when you go to a convention, especially if you're only going for one day, like, you're gonna be there at least for 5-6 hours.
Yeah, somebody didn't get that memo. But the second year I went, they clearly got the feedback that people were not happy about that experience. And they opened up the full convention center so they could accommodate more people. And it was a better experience. But for me, I saw it 2 years in a row. I'm good for now. Unless, you know, they got somebody really amazing that I absolutely had to meet, which honestly, I don't know who they could get that I absolutely have to meet. Because I've met a lot of people that I've wanted to meet in real life. What's that?
Nathan Fillion.
Him I would go meet. Yeah. All right, cool.
Oh, there we go. Got it.
I've checked off most of the celebrities I want to see, so.
See, I'm terrible at meeting. Granted, the only celebrities I've ever met, and I'm using celebrities with a lowercase c.
Oh, I used quotation marks. And no one can see it because we're in an audio medium, but.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll put it in the animatic for this later on. But
because we have a budget for that.
I mean, it's just you stop motion, and it's going to be like very, you know, it's going to be it's going to be the one of your Optimus figures, and it's just going to put its hands up, and then I don't know if any of them have opposable fingers, so we'll just have it like flick its wrists twice, and that'll be the quotation marks.
Some of them actually do have articulated fingers, but
all right, well, cool. I didn't know. I don't know, but the only people I've ever met that like I've wanted to meet were the Kind of Funny people, and I. 1,000% incapable of speaking to any of them except for the one that I ran into in the bathroom.
I mean, like, actually ran into him?
Yeah, so it was they had like a pop-up panel, and then when it was done I went to the bathroom, and I don't know if it's like this at Rhode Island Comic Con or Total Con or Conclave or any of the other or PAX Unplugged, but at PAX East there's a poop line and a pee line, and it was, you know, these are bathrooms that have 3 urinals and 3 stalls, and there might be at any given time 40 or 50 people waiting in line. So there's a stall line and there's a urinal line. Nick Scarpino, one of the guys from Kind of Funny, was standing in the poop line, and I was wearing a Kind of Funny shirt, and like I was, you know, I'd already gone to the bathroom, I was washing my hands, and he's like, "Hey man, nice shirt." I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Oh yeah, big fan. Nice to meet you." And then, you know, I didn't shake his hand because I hadn't washed my hands yet. So I kind of gave him like an air fist bump. And then I was like, "By the way, you're in the poop line." And he was like, "What? Oh, you guys are efficient." And then he stepped up into the pee line and then went and did his business. So he was the only one I could actually speak to.
And you did a good deed.
I did. I saved him a lot of time because he was in the poop line and he did not have to poop. But the only other one I spoke to, this is the exact opposite of keeping your cool, was Greg Miller. And I literally ran into him because I was waiting in line for their like big panel. And I was like, I got 20 minutes. I'm going to go pee because I'm always peeing. I don't know if you guys have picked that up yet.
I might edit that out.
Yeah, whatever. I walked out of the queue area and like, I looked to my right or left or whatever. And I turned the opposite way to start walking. And I literally walk into somebody. And I back, you know, before I can back away and excuse myself, like I look up at this very tall man who is Greg Miller. And I'm like, and I'm just like, oh, my God. And like there aren't words, like I just freeze. And I was wearing a Kind of Funny shirt because it was the same day. And he was like, "Oh, I love this shirt." And he grabbed both of my nipples and gave them like a little tweak. And then he hugged me and then he patted me on the shoulder and walked away. And that was very weird for me.
Was it kind of funny?
It was kind of funny, but like I didn't know what to say or
and
what
also
to do.
Sexually harassing.
Yeah, but it was fine. But I was like completely dumbfounded. I was like, I don't know what to do. Hi, bye. It was so yeah. So that's how good I am at meeting people. So don't ever ask me to interview anybody that I like because it's not gonna happen.
All right. Unless they tweak your nipples.
Unless you tweak my nipples first. You gotta get the right radio signal. And then
okay.
I'll be good. Anyways, I forgot how we got on that tangent.
I don't know. It did remind me of a, I hesitate to say similar experience, because no cool. no one touched me inappropriately, but...
All right.
Years ago, my father and I, we went to BotCon. Which, for the non-super nerdy people, that's the Transformers convention. I think it's now defunct now. They don't use that title, but we drove all the way down to Kentucky to go to this convention. And Simon Furman, who is considered, like, the big comic book writer of Transformers comics, huge for them, like he wrote it all through the 80s and 90s and everything, and he came back, you know, years later to do more. He was there, and I was in line to get my copy of the awful Spotlight Nightbeat signed by him. I say awful, it was actually a good story, but it's a terrible artwork in it. But he was there, and they had an exclusive cover of it, and I was trying to get it signed by him, two copies, because a friend of the show, Mike Thunderwing from the Fanholes podcast, I was getting a copy for him, too, because he's local to Rhode Island. And as my dad and I are waiting in line to get into the convention, to get into the line that would be for Simon Furman, he just goes running in. And this guy... He has the convention walk. We would call it at work the bill payment walk. Like, head down, don't make eye contact, don't let anybody talk to you, because he didn't want to get interrupted because he had a mission and he was going to get there and do it. And so he just bulls his way past this line and just slams into me, which knocks me into my father. And my dad's like, "Oh, what a jerk." And I'm like, "That was Simon Furman." And my dad, who has no idea who that is, he was just with me for the convention. And a bunch of other, you know, fans who were also in line, like, "Oh my God, you just got knocked over by Simon Furman." I'm like, yeah, I did. That's like, all it was. And then when I actually met him, he just signed the comics and said thank you in his British accent and handed me the books. It was good times.
I mean, it's similar, except that nobody made up for the walking into by hugging you and caressing your...
He did not. And I'm actually kind of okay with that he restrained himself. I think he shouted a sorry as he walked by, but...
Sorry. And he was just gone.
Yeah.
Like the wind. Yeah. But yes, I mean, conventions are cool.
It's a unique experience. I mean, no matter what type of convention you're going to, it's crowded, it's stressful, you're hungry and everything's overpriced, you're thirsty and everything's overpriced, you got to pay for like $6 bottles of water at least.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But it's fun.
It is a lot of fun. But you know, I think part of it is paying, you know, $12 for the the jumbo hot dog or sausage with like a small bag of chips, and then $5 for a bottle of water or an energy drink, and like trying to find a spot to eat this food, but you're probably going to end up just sitting on the ground, like, you know, just sitting like on, or like kneeling down and just eating it quickly and getting back out in there and doing stuff. They're being Purell every 14 feet because everybody's gross.
Oh yeah. You got to get the cron crud.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. the kind of funny people on their podcast, they call it the PAX plague. every PAX they go to, somebody gets horribly ill afterwards. But with the food part, my brother who went, I went with Joe, who's on Critical Failure, for all you other guys and gals out there listening. My brother Ryan, who, and then our old roommate Mike. And the four of us all went together, and my brother, who prides himself on his frugalness, decided to bring food with him instead of paying for the overpriced hot dogs and stuff, which, you know, I think it's weird to bring in an entire, if you want to bring like a bagged lunch with you, that's one thing. My brother brought two sleeves of Pringles, an entire thing of cookies, a box of Wheat Thins, a box of Cheez-Its, bread, pepperoni, and the tuna fish that you don't have to refrigerate, or not in the can, like the bagged tuna that you can buy, like the single sandwich tuna. And he and he was like the and he also loves the fact that he's being gross. Like, he thinks it's funny. So, like, you know, we all buy our hot dogs and we're at a table or whatever. And I think I put it on, it's one of the, if you guys want to go on my Twitter at on Common Soap, I put up, I think like 7 or 8 different like things that happened at PAX that like popped out at me. This was the 4th or 5th one. It's just a picture of my brother's gross tuna mess. Yeah, PAX East Mission Log 3, my brother is a monster. And it is his Sunkissed Tuna Creations with an entire box of Pepper Jack Cheez-Its, pizza Pringles, pepperoni, bread, and Tupperware. And before he made the sandwich, he's like, oh, this bread smells kind of weird. So it's like, I don't know what the hell he was doing, but he just insisted on making this tuna mess while we're all eating our hot dogs. And it was just, and then the second day we were there,
I hope he didn't breathe on anybody after eating all that.
It like the second he opened that bag, dude, it was bad. It smelled. And like I like tuna. Like I like a tuna steak. I like sushi. But like just the smell of tuna fish, like bagged tuna fish is disgusting.
No, like good tuna.
Yeah, not like the this is enough for one sandwich, like any like and like he you know you know, like when you have a thing of, God, I'm trying to think of a good analogy, like a packet of ketchup, and like you grip it from the bottom and like you bring it up so you can just get like the whole thing out in one shot. Like him doing that with like a bag of tuna.
It was
so gross. But the second day we were there, we wanted to sit down and eat at one of the restaurants at the Westin that's attached to the Boston Convention Center. And he was so mad. He's like, oh, what? Well, I mean, I brought food. I brought my sandwiches. I don't want to buy food. And it's just like, dude, like we're spending $12 on a hot dog and a you know, a bag of Cape Cod potato chips, and then another $5 on a soda. We're going to go spend $15 on a burger and fries and sit down at a table, and that's what we're gonna do. So too bad for you. And then ironically, he got fish tacos when we were there, so he just needed to have the tuna, I guess. But it was like I had to like convince him to go sit down at a restaurant and eat food. It's like,
and eat real food, you know?
Yeah. And it's not like Boston's a vacation. It's 45 minutes away. But, like, we're staying at a hotel. We're here at this thing for an entire weekend. You know, instead of driving back and forth or taking the train and being stuck in traffic in some capacity, we're in the city. Let's, like, be in the city and do stuff. And he wanted no part of it. And he wanted to eat his gross tuna. And that's disgusting. And I know he'll never listen to this. So I can talk about it all.
I mean, I always think, like, all right, if I'm going
to... Well, maybe he'll listen to this.
Maybe. When I go to conventions, I always want to bring, like, easily quick food, you know, but not gross stuff and also convenient things. Like, I'll bring Nutri-Grain bars or granola bars.
I mean, the box of wheat things came in handy because after the show floor closed on the first day, we went to the free play area and my brother bought just regular Clank, and we played that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so like having the Pringles and the wheat thins and stuff as we were, you know, because it was Mike and Joe's first time playing Clank. So, you know, it took us, and it was loud in there, so it took a good 30, 40 minutes to teach them how to play the game. And then also, you know, punching out all the cardboard and getting the decks all sorted and stuff like that. And then it took a good hour and a half, 2 hours to play the game. It was like, it was way longer than when we played Clank in Space. But I think that's also because, you know, Mike's really good at deck builders, and Joe pushed his luck so much. It ended up backfiring for him at the end, but like, if Joe had been able to escape from the dungeon, he would have won. Like he just kept going deeper and deeper. But anyways, so having those box snacks was like nice for that. But like, he brought like essentially a backpack literally full of food. Like, if you want to bring a lunch with you, that's fine. But like, he went grocery shopping to bring it in a backpack to go to the thing that you would normally put swag in the backpack. But he just had a backpack full of food.
Yeah, when I was at PAX Unplugged, I mean, I brought a backpack, but I had games in it. I had snacks and water. And the water was key because I was getting headaches like no tomorrow because I was dehydrated. You just got to have that kind of stuff. But I didn't pack it full of crap. Like, it was just a couple of Nutri-Grain bars. I don't remember everything that I brought with me for snacks, but it was all easy to use stuff.
But yeah, it was obnoxious. I mean, I brought my backpack and I had two bottles of water and my jacket in there. And then in years past, when I've gone with a lot, and this isn't me being like upset I didn't get free swag, but like, usually I'll get like, you know, two or three like t-shirts or like keychains. Like, I'll get something from a lot of these booths that you go at. I didn't really get any swag at all this year, and I also didn't buy anything. There were some cool like shirts and hats and stuff I wanted to buy, but I thought about it, and I have enough graphic t-shirts for being a 30-year-old man, so I didn't buy more. But I wanted to so bad, Zach. There's so many cool shirts.
I wish I had gotten you that shirt that said "World's Okayest DM."
Dude, I would wear that. I would wear that with pride. I'm gonna look up that shirt right now. Hold on. I got my computer. Amazon.com. World's Okayest DM.
Yeah.
The one that popped up was the one that popped up first on Amazon was "World's Okayest Mom," and I'm like, oh my god, that's horrible.
That's really mean.
I know, that's terrible. Ooh, it's looking like a lilac color. Oh, they got lots of other colors. Okay, cool. Dude, I'd wear the crap out of this shirt. You kidding me?
So I also recently went to a few conventions. It wasn't as big as PAX. I did get to go to TotalCon for a day. I went the previous year as well with Vanessa, but this year I took my daughter. So it was a very different experience going to this kind of thing. And TotalCon's a board game convention. I know this show is supposed to be off topic from the main show, Board with Friends, but whatever. We're winging this right now. but the convention, I found there's different types of conventions, obviously, you know, based on theme. Board game conventions, they're not as, it doesn't feel as claustrophobic and rushed. Like, you can feel the difference, like, I'm sure, between PAX East and PAX Unplugged. Because PAX Unplugged, it being the first year of it, but it wasn't huge. It wasn't slam-packed where you couldn't move around. And people were making comments about it, how, like, they were surprised at how easy it was to move around and get places and see things. The biggest, you know, crowd we had was trying to sit down for a demo of a game. You know, we had to wait a few minutes or something like that. TotalCon, it's very streamlined as far as, like, you check in, you get your badge, you go borrow your game that you want to borrow from the library, you sit down and you play. Like, there wasn't a lot of panels or things like that. But taking Lily to it was an interesting experience. I kind of felt like nostalgic of doing this because when I was really little, my dad used to take me to Star Trek conventions. And I wasn't a huge Star Trek fan, but it was just cool to go someplace with my dad, and he was taking me, and he would buy me toys, so I liked it. Overpriced stuff, now that I think about it. And she was really excited to go to this because it was just me and her. It was special time for us, and we sat down. We got to play some games, which was great. And it was fun because, you know, people would come up and ask how we were enjoying the convention, and they would talk to her, and she thought this was great that she was getting this attention. And, you know, one gentleman even sat down and played a game with us, which was fun. And she almost won, too, which was great. And then we got to go to the little dealer room that they had, which is always a dangerous place to go in any convention. I think you would agree with that because you can spend a fortune in these places. And it's not cheap to go either. I don't know how much temptation you had to buy things, but there's always artwork or at these things. There's always, games and, you know, knickknacks and collectibles and things, and they're all so overpriced.
Well, I mean, for me, it's like I've tried to get into collecting art or figures or stuff like or things like that, but then I find I don't really have anywhere to put them, and then it's So I have like a box of figures, and then, you know, when Amiibos first started coming out, I had every single one, and when the new one would come out, I would buy it. But then it's like, I have these dozens of like little, you know, Nintendo toys, and I don't have any purpose for them. I did used to collect classic video games, which I have. I'm staring at a box of several hundred of them right now across the room from me, just in a box. But for me, whenever I go to the conventions, it's always It's the swag. So it's shirts and hats and keychains and, you know, stuff like that is generally what I want to buy. And
things to help you remember the experience, because that's what it should be about, is the experience that you had.
No, 100%. And I was a good boy this year. I mean, 2 years ago I bought a Mega Man arm cannon that you could put batteries into, and it would make the bloop 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 noise that from the NES games.
How much was that? Year,
like $75. It was.
Oh, okay. I was expecting you to say several hundred.
No. It's like a literally. It's like a little plastic thing with like a trigger on the inside. Actually, for the old LAN party podcast, we used to put our topics into it, and that's what we grabbed our random topics out of with the Mega Man Blaster. That's the most use it ever got, but. I forgot. Last year, I think I bought a couple of shirts from one of the from like ThinkGeek or something like that. But this year I was a good boy. I didn't buy anything, which I was kind of sad about, because now that I'm getting a little light in the top of the head department, I was like, oh, I want to get some cool hats, because like I have like a Star Wars hat and then a plain hat. I'm like, I want to get something else, but then it's like I don't know how much I want to commit to wearing like a Charmander hat. So something random like that. So I didn't get anything this year when I had convinced myself I was going to buy some cool dorky hats, but I was good this year.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. But when you're talking about, TotalCon, you just go to the library and you just grab a game and, you know, you guys sit down and do your thing. The free play area at PAX East. So like when you walk into the convention center, you can go upstairs, and that's where the conference rooms are for the, you know, the panels and stuff like that. But then you go, you know, downstairs onto the show floor, and right when you get down there, there's like, you know, Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft and Bethesda and the big game developers, and then the entire middle section they call the Indie Mega Booth. So that's, you know, small games, that either small teams or even individuals are making. And then when you go beyond that, that's where all the tabletop stuff is and RPG stuff is. That's where I played Drop Mix.
Oh, you did get to play it.
Yeah. Well, that's how I got the card.
Just ran in and grabbed the card.
No. You got two promo cards for playing Drop Mix. The first one was the G.I. Joe one, and the other one was for a I think Supergiant is the game developer. They made Bastion and Transistor, and I'm brain farting on the name of their new game, but you got the theme song of their new game as a secondary promo card.
I had no idea who that second promo card was. I just wanted the G.I. Joe one.
Well, of course. And it's still in my backpack. I gotta bring it. I gotta bring it tomorrow night when we
better
go to
not
the
be bent.
Fire bylaw thing. No, I put it. It's like in its own pocket. I'm sure it's fine.
not to interrupt you, but to tell the listeners this: the entire time you were at PAX East, I was tweeting and texting you, you know, missions to do and things to get me or things to look at.
and I had every intention. So like when we first got there, you know, at, you know, whatever, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, the drop mix, I walked by drop mix and, you know, I read their sign. It's like, oh, you know, try the game, get the promo card, you know, take a picture, take a selfie at the booth with the, they had a DJ that was playing all 4 days just using drop mix mm-hmm. and like blasting through like giant speakers in front of their booth. Which I, when I told my brother that, he was like blown away. He was like, oh, that's cool. They have a DJ there. And I was like, no, like he's playing, that dude's playing drop mix. He's like, no, he's not. And like, you could like look around the booth. It's like, yeah, he doesn't, he's not like turntables and stuff. He's just playing drop mix. So that was really cool.
That's one of the cool things about it. I mean, it's not the greatest game in the world, but to just sit there and sometimes I'll just turn it on, hook up the speakers to it and just start fiddling with it and playing music. And it's really fun. So I can see that, like, you could run a whole show off that. DJs are going to be out of business. They're going to just download drop mix and do all sorts of crazy stuff.
I very much enjoyed it when I played it, but yeah, the line was crazy. So that was ended up being the last thing we did on the first day, like before the show floor closed, because it was the floor was open 10 to 6, so it was like 5:45 when there was only, you know, maybe 24 people in line. So we got in, played, got the cards, you know, and got out. But to get back to what I was getting at, so past where you would buy the board games and, you know, demo them and stuff like that, is that just this gigantic free play area. And there are curtained off rooms where you could play Pathfinder or D&D. Like they had like little pickup games, but they also had a game library where you could, you know, rent games. And then you would go to one of the literally hundreds of folding tables to just like sit. And they had like little LFG like traffic cones you would put on your table if you were by yourself or with a smaller group. And then other people would just, you know, come join your game. Mm-hmm. So it would be this giant traffic cone with a sign that's, you know, just said LFG on it. And then the game box would be kind of like nailed to the top of it. So like if they were playing, you know, Secret Hitler or Catan or, you know, any of the other dozens of games, like they knew, like, if you're going to go join this group, you're going to play this game.
Mm-hmm. So they did the same thing at PAX Unplugged. It was actually very helpful.
Yeah. And I never went to the free play area before. Like I would go to the hobby gaming section to like look at games, and maybe like, you know, my brother and Mike and I would like buy something, but we never went to the free play area except we wanted to play Clank and like ride out the traffic leaving the convention center. And we ended up, you know, we got there at 10:30 in the morning. We ended up leaving there at 10 o'clock at night because of how long the game of Clank took.
Hmm. You should have known you played Clank in space.
Well, yeah, but I didn't think it was going to be. I thought it only took so long because none of the three of us knew how to play it. I love Clank, but good Lord, that's a long game. brought to you by Renegade Games. But it was.
Still looking for that sponsorship, Renegade.
Yeah, seriously. Where are you on that, guys?
Not going to sponsor us.
Come on, we're talking about Renegade Games. I'll review more of them. We reviewed like 4 in a row.
They just got the Power Rangers license, so we're definitely going to be reviewing them soon.
Oh, absolutely. But it was, the free play area was cool. And then you being over there with reminded me of that. So that was a very long tangent.
No, I've never been to a full fledged PAX convention except for PAX Unplugged because it always, yeah, like. I always thought it was more about video games, and it just there wasn't enough interest for me to go to one. I've had plenty of friends, including you, who have gone to these things and, you know, talked about like how fun it is, but it just wasn't for me. And sometimes it's just not in the cards. You know, I just don't have the finances or the time to dedicate to go to one. Like, I think, you know, because we work together, you know, at our jobs over the last few years, like usually we can't always get the same days off. So, you know, if you requested the time off to go to PAX East, you know, the last few years, I can't take those days off because we're in the same location. It becomes difficult. But at the same time, it does sound like a lot of fun. And I'm glad to hear that they are expanding their board game section there. I thought they would actually reduce it because they would want more people to be excited for PAX Unplugged, which is dedicated completely to board games.
Well, I honestly think that they're making it more about the hobby gaming and the RPG stuff because they want more people to get introduced to it, so that way more people will go to PAX Unplugged.
That makes sense, too.
Because, you don't want to hoard all the time for Philly. So if you have – and in years past, it would be, you know, the free play area, and they would have, like, a Magic tournament or something like that. And, you know, I saw that there were on the app when it shows like the readout of all the panels and stuff, there were so many time slots for D&D Adventurers League every day. It was ridiculous. And I know that maybe I never noticed it because I didn't care about RPG stuff until, you know, the last year or so. But like the number of time slots they had for Pathfinder and D&D and, you know, I always noticed all the TCG tournaments going on, but like it was like so much. I would say it was probably like 70-30 for video game versus board game, but that 30 is way more than what it has been the last couple of years.
Hmm.
So it was awesome. The entire thing was great. You know, last year I went to like exclusively panels, and then this year, and then the year before that, I like played all the big games. So like waiting for, you know, Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo's booth for hours on end to play 15 minutes of one game. This year, I just did. I walked around the hobby gaming stuff, and then I just stuck to the indie games. And I mean, I played probably like 20 or 25 games. And Joe and I played 6 or 7 games in the time that Ryan and Mike got to play one game at the Nintendo booth. And some stuff that kind of popped out to me. Apparently there's a Sentinels of the Multiverse RPG. I want to look into that for like maybe a superhero thing we'll do at some point. Because I love Sentinels. I know that you weren't crazy about it, but
it was fun. I'm not going to say I hated it. I liked Sentinels of the Multiverse. It was fun, but it wasn't... It didn't make me want to like run and play it again.
Yeah, fair enough. But some other stuff that would be more relevant to like what we talk about. There was a game that I played called King of the Hat, which was really, really funny. Think like Smash Brothers. So like it's four people like in an arena. But what it is you are all different types of things. So some of them are humans or a yeti or a cat or a scarecrow or a washing machine, just things that are wearing hats, and you can throw your hat, and the objective is to stomp on everybody else's hat, and the last person whose hat has not been stomped is the one that wins. That would be like a fun little, like, you know, like not to talk about party games with the Jackbox stuff, but
I have a question.
Yeah,
so if you... The objective is to stomp on someone's hat.
Uh-huh.
Why would you throw your hat?
Because if you hit somebody with it, it knocks their hat off and it stuns them.
Oh, okay. So you didn't explain that portion of it.
Sorry. No, my bad. But yeah, it was a very interesting little game, and it was really cool. And then I played another game, which was very depressing, called Frostpunk, where it was like SimCity, but if it was post-apocalyptic and you were trying to not have everybody die. And
so the Sims?
A little more dire than that. It would be like, here's your generator. You're in the... It was called Frostpunk because you're in the Arctic. And it's like, hey, like your generator is going to run out of coal unless you make all your workers work a 24-hour shift. But if they work a 24-hour shift, some of them, you know, might get tired or revolt or die or something like that. Do you want to do that? And like you have to decide, do you want to keep them happy or do you want to make the hard decision that... seems like it's a good idea in the short term. So it escalated. I played it for like 20 minutes and it escalated incredibly quickly. But yeah, I played like, oh, there was also a tower defense game where you were a little kid building like pillow forts to fight the monsters that were trying to come into your bedroom. And that was really cute. I liked that a lot. So it's like you had like a little like Nerf gun, and you had to like build like pillow forts and like turrets made out of like laundry baskets and like wiffle balls and stuff like that. And
that's awesome.
Shoot monsters. It was really cool.
What system is that on?
It's gonna be on Switch when it comes out.
Ugh.
It might. I mean, most of these games are coming out for like PC and Switch because the Switch is very quickly becoming like the indie machine. So I can look at. I wrote down Switch because if a game's coming out on Switch, I'm probably gonna get it on Switch. But I'm sure it's also coming out on PC. They also had a.
I don't feel like spending $300 on a Switch.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That game was called Sleep Tight, not Crawl. Crawl was different. Crawl was a Switch game that I played with my brother and Mike, where you are. It's a dungeon crawler, but one person is the human, and the objective of the other people playing is to be the monsters in the level to kill the human. And when whoever kills the person gets to become human, and then you have to get to the end of the level and beat the boss. So whoever just happens to be the human at the end of the level is the one who wins. That got really intense. That was really, really fun. There's so many great games. I love PAX. And none of these games are coming out for, like, forever, except for Crawl. That's out right now. But, yeah, man, video games are cool.
Sure.
And so are board games and hobby games and RPGs. Games are cool.
Yes. I like video games. I've gotten into, more recently. Like Sea of Thieves. I've been playing that a lot. Actually, not a lot, but I've been playing it.
Yeah, but that's an improvement over the not at all.
It absolutely is, yeah. Because before that, I wasn't really playing any at all. Just the other day, in fact, my oldest daughter, Lily, made a comment, and she just goes, "Daddy, we don't play the Nintendo anymore." I was like, "We don't have a Nintendo." And she goes, "Yes, we do." And she pointed at the Super Nintendo Classic. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, we do have a Nintendo." That's how often I play it.
Yeah, you don't even realize that you have it. But actually, the video game thing reminds me, and you'll be happy to know this, Zach. There's like a small floor in between the floor where all the kind of convention halls are, and then the actual convention floor itself. And they set up these giant projectors, and on these giant projectors is just an open session of the Jackbox Party Pack Mix.
Thanks for listening to Bored with Friends. If you enjoyed this show.
I had to say it. And Amanda also says, "Ooh, that sounds fun," because she just walked downstairs. So you. She says, why does Zach hate Jackbox? No, he hates Jackbox because for like a year straight on every single episode, when we were talking about games we had played recently, I talked about Jackbox for like a year straight. So now if I even say Jackbox, he edits it out. She says you don't have enough friends to play, and that's why. But I think that's mean.
I mean, it's not inaccurate.
He says it's not inaccurate, baby. And now Amanda's part of the podcast. And now you're doing your first podcast. How's that feel? She says that you're our friend, so it's fine.
Aww. Now I feel all warm and fuzzy. Not sure why.
She said her podcast can be better than ours.
She doesn't even know what a podcast is.
I know, but when she finds out what it is, it's going to be fantastic.
Probably, actually. You know what? She'll nail it on the first try, what took us like 4 years.
Yeah, but you know, minor detail. And Amanda and Jenny make a podcast. Check it out on something at some point, maybe.
That's how you're going to announce a new show.
Yeah, well, I mean, they haven't recorded it. She says when they figure it out. When we feel like it. Oh, when we feel like it. Way too lazy, apparently.
That'll be part of the shtick. You'll get episodes when they feel like recording episodes.
Oh, man. Too funny.
None of these deadlines that you guys always miss. Screw that.
Yeah, forget that. Well, it'll be there. You know what? Whenever you check your iTunes feed, it'll be there. You know, it'll be there when we want it there. And if it's not there, then we didn't feel like it being there. And that's fine. No pressure.
Fine.
It's fine, boys. I forgot what we were initially talking about, Jackbox Party Pack. And then I got very excited about the Jackbox. situation that you hate so much.
I remember you tweeting me an image of it, and yeah.
But yeah, folded it. Yeah. Okay. Her clothes are still wet from the dryer. This is great. This is great radio, everybody. I'm sorry.
You know what? I might leave that in.
I mean, some of it's good.
Oh, was I supposed to put the dryer on?
It's okay. Actually, no, baby. Can you turn it off?
Oh, my clothes are wet.
I'll turn the dryer back on. Yeah, cut this part out.
No, this is gold.
Baby, I'm going to take care of it.
It's because you had it on low knits. You have to switch it.
Is that low or medium? But that's going to shrink your clothes. Okay, well then. Anyways, what were we talking about before Jackbox?
Conventions, I believe, was our topic, sir.
Well, conventions. Something else that we were talking about that I guess doesn't really happen at the other conventions you've been to, cosplaying. I wanted to talk to you about the best cosplay that I saw the entire time I was there. Mm-hmm. I already sent you the picture of the kind of like future knight, like Iron Man cross suit of armor Metapod that was there, which was freaking awesome. But the greatest cosplay I have ever seen, the punniest thing I have ever seen anybody do ever. You know Big Boss from Metal Gear?
Yes.
Okay. There was Big Boss wearing a suit.
Okay.
Being a Big Boss.
Okay.
I thought it was great because, you know, like Big Boss, there are a lot of snakes in Big Bosses and they're like wearing like, you know, tactical gear or like something that looks like that, like the skin tight suit that he wears in Metal Gear or, you know, army fatigues. But this was just a dude with long hair, with an eye patch, the band, you know, wearing it because he's Big Boss and he's going to be a Big Boss. And I thought it was hilarious.
That is funny. Anyway, I get it. Yeah.
I expected you to like it more.
Did he have a folder that said TPS reports or something on it?
No, he was just walking around. He was just wearing a suit, and he looked good in the suit. It was good. But there was also a guy dressed up as an Alliance footman from Warcraft, and he had a gold exclamation point above his head, so he had a quest for you. I thought that was pretty good. But, I mean, there's always good ones. I mean, like, I wish that I had the creativity and the skill set to physically be able to cosplay as something, and also the confidence, because I don't think I could pull it off.
Yeah, that is probably the biggest part of it.
Yeah, the confidence, because even the people with like the bad costumes, like if you're confident with it, like people are still gonna be like, good job, man.
Sometimes when they're really bad, they're good, you know.
Yeah, no, I
because they could be clever, like. If it's a clever costume.
Very true, though. But there's always... That's something that I would imagine is at Rhode Island Comic Con. But at PAX, they have a lot of cosplaying contests on... I think it's just on Saturday. But you always see a lot of people, and they go all out. And like when you recognize it, and you're like, oh, man, like that's a thing. Like, you're so-and-so. I'm always very happy about that. But Joe and I were talking about it, and it's like, what's like a very easy, like low impact cosplay you could do, without it, without making like a fool out of yourself? I thought like Nathan Drake. I was already wearing a Henley. I just need to have a scarf and a backpack, and then almost fall down a lot. I feel like I can do that. I'm always falling down anyways. Hmm. But that's my story about cosplay.
I mean, I've seen plenty of cosplay, not so much at PAX Unplugged or TotalCon or any of the recent conventions I went to, but definitely at Rhode Island Comic Con. There was a lot of cosplays. I sent you back a picture of my favorite cosplay that Vanessa and I saw, which was of Hawk Girl and The Question, her favorite superhero and one of my favorite superheroes. And it was an amazing cosplay. Like, I was shocked when I saw The Question. I was like, really? The Question? Like, he's kind of obscure, so that's awesome. And there was plenty of Green Arrow, who's another one of my favorite superheroes there. Even at BotCon, like, you know, there was plenty of cosplay there, if I remember correctly, but there wasn't, you know, anything that just stood out, because it was all like, it was a Transformers convention. So people who were cosplaying, they were just wearing cardboard boxes. But some of them get very, very creative. Like, some of the cool cosplays are the ones that, at least at a Transformers convention, are the ones that actually transform. Like, they were able to turn into, you know, the vehicle mode, which is pretty impressive. I was very impressed by that kind of thing. And then obviously at, like, other conventions, you know, just at all over the place. Like, my mother, she usually attends Dragon Con down south, I think. And she likes to go there every year. And she sends me pictures of the cosplays that she sees there. And they do the parade, which is kind of a regular thing that you'll see. And there's some amazing stuff. Really, truly amazing stuff that people come up with. And some people, that's their life. Like, I've seen YouTube videos and, you know, other stuff where that's just what they do. They come up with these really cool, you know, recreations of, you know, animated characters and live action characters and just, you know, clever stuff. And mashups are always my favorite thing, when they take two characters and mash them together and make something really special.
You know, it's always good. Your mom goes to Dragon Con every year? Isn't that in, like, Atlanta?
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Cool. All right.
I mean, I have the coolest parents ever.
I mean, cool. I mean, that's subjective, but I mean,
it is.
Yeah. I mean, your parents, like that's awesome. It's like, you know, your dad was taking you to Star Trek conventions, and then, you know,
that wasn't as awesome.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I did have fun at Star Trek conventions.
Oh, and then, like, when you were talking about how your dad took you to Star Trek conventions, I saw there was this couple that was, you know, around our age with like two, like, little twins. They were probably like maybe a year old, and they were wearing like knitted Zelda and Link like costumes, and like being pulled around like in wagons. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, granted, like, you know, a 1 year old's gonna be sensory overload, but like, it was still cute. So like, that stuff's cool. I hope my kids are nerds. I don't know what I'm gonna do if they're not.
I'm trying to force my children to be nerds, so.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's going to make it seem like it's natural. And then it'll all work out.
I mean, I'm not making them be nerds. I shouldn't say it that way. But I'm definitely letting them know that that's the way things go in this house.
That's the ticket. If you want to live under my roof, you're going to love Doctor Who. And you're going to appreciate the fourth Doctor, because that's the one that you like.
Close enough.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what your favorite one is.
I don't know either. I don't really have a favorite. I like them all. Well, yeah. I like more than others. Probably the fifth or the eighth or the tenth or the second.
I mean, I would probably say the tenth is my favorite out of the four I've experienced.
There you go.
But he's also the most I've experienced, because I've watched all of his run and not just individual, you know, like one shots.
You've also experienced all of the ninth.
True, but I mean, but that's only
one season.
It's not three seasons. It's not essentially four seasons of television.
Well, I know on our, maybe there'll be time on our next big game night this coming weekend. We can play the Doctor Who board game, so you can get that experience too. We already reviewed it, so you could put in your two cents next Bored with Friends episode, I guess. But
yeah, man, I've been keeping a list, because I found that, like, I have trouble remembering, because it's like, oh yeah, I played that game 3 weeks ago. So I started keeping notes of for Bored with Friends of every board game or board game like game that I play, and I just kind of keep it all together.
That's what I do too, honestly. Behind the scenes info here, folks, because I'll play a game and it's like, oh yeah, I just played this game. No, actually, I played it like a month ago, and I'm trying to remember what I liked about it and what I did.
Exactly. And it's, you know, 3 years later, I'm starting to take it somewhat seriously and write down the dang thing I'm playing.
It's been requested that we play Drop Mix at the next game too, so you better bring that card.
It's in my backpack. I'm going to bring it tomorrow. I'm going to bring it tomorrow to just give to you.
Yeah.
And that'll work out.
This will air not tonight or tomorrow when we're recording this, so there's no point in me really saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're going to go to meet up with a Providence gaming group and check out Fireball Island, which is up on Kickstarter right now. Just to, you know, cram in a little bit of board game information on this episode. Okay. But they have the roving prototype of it, so we're going to go check that out, which will be really fun.
I didn't realize that it was, I knew that we were going to go and, you know, play it, test it, whatever. I did not realize that the people that were remaking it were in Rhode Island.
Restoration Games is not in Rhode Island. They are literally taking this on a road trip around the country.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because they only have one prototype. So that's why they were at PAX East. That's why they're, you know, they're hitting local hotspots. I don't know if they're going to make it all the way across the country. I didn't look at all the places that they were going, but I know they're hitting the East Coast.
Yeah.
At least, and into the West. But they're going to be all over the place. Like, I think they're going from Rhode Island and they're dropping, going all the way down to Philadelphia, because they're going to be at the Beermongers pub down in Philadelphia, where I know the Secret Cabal is going to meet up with them and check out the game as well. And most people will probably listen to that, because Secret Cabal's numbers are way higher than ours.
yeah, but you know what? Maybe those guys listen to us and they're like, yeah, you know, our friends over in Rhode Island, we're doing a thing. I can't do an impression of either of them.
No, they probably don't. But that's okay, because we're having fun.
Big fans.
All right. I think we've kind of gone completely off the rails now on topic. Was there anything else you wanted to add about conventions, Sean?
Nah, man. I mean, I'm excited to if there's a PAX Unplugged this year, I'd like to go. It is difficult for us both to ask off stuff at the same time, but I make the schedule, so I don't care. so I'm fine with that. That's it, man. I've never been to Rhode Island Comic Con. It's normally around my birthday, and around my birthday I go to Disney World because I'm an adult who goes to Disney World all the time. So I've never been to Rhode Island Comic Con, so I'll consider that, but I definitely want to hit up PAX Unplugged if there's another one this year. And I've never been to Philly, so that'd be great. I'd love to do that.
I don't know if it's going to be in Philly, and I know they might be moving it to December this year because it did it overlapped. I don't know if it was the exact same dates, but it overlapped a couple days with Board Game Geek Con. So people weren't happy about that, but literally that was the only weekend they had available, because they kind of put PAX Unplugged together fairly quickly, and it was pretty successful. I mean, the numbers were huge, so they're definitely going to do it again, but I think they said they were going to move it into the December time period. So I don't know if we're going to get to go again this year or not. So we'll see.
Yeah, because I'm going to Disney instead of going for my birthday. I'm going in December.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm just not allowed to go anywhere apparently in the winter. I mean, as long as it's not the week before Christmas, we'd theoretically be able to go.
But I could take you to Conclave, which is not really a full fledged convention experience like we've just been discussing.
Whatever, man. I'm down for stuff. Always down for stuff.
All right. I guess we'll... Oh, actually, you've been leader of the episode. You can tell people that we're going to wrap it up.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Bored with Friends, Bored, B-O-R-E-D, because we felt like doing something different today. If you like us, go ahead, at Bored with Friend on Twitter or at Uncommon Soap. You should listen to Critical Failure and Bored with Friend, the other podcast that's on this exact same RSS feed. So you probably are. And check out all the other and all the nerdy fun stuff that we do over on the online there. We'll catch you guys in a couple more weeks.
See, I tricked you because I pre-record the ending. All you had to do was say it's over. Like, thanks for listening.
Thanks for watching.
Listening.
Goodbye.
Listening.
Thanks for listening. You should play all that.
This is completely off the rails for an off-topic episode.
Doggy.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out some of the other podcasts on the And All the Nerdy Fun network, like Bored with Friends, B-O-A-R-D, where we review and discuss hobby gaming, Critical Failure, a show where a bunch of people with very little role-playing experience get to play Dungeons & Dragons together. For even more cool stuff, check out the And All the Nerdy Fun YouTube channel for video reviews, stop-motion animations, and more. The podcast of And All the Nerdy Fun are produced by Sean Bissonette and Zach Dyer. Our Board with Friends theme song was composed by Andy Lane. If you like what you hear, please head over to iTunes and give us a review. We really appreciate it. And if you want to drop us feedback, follow us on Twitter at BoardWithFriend. That's B-O-A-R-D. Once again, thanks for listening.